then we want to cheer you on and say, come on, you've gone this far. Now, come on, we know you can go further. If you come in here and you're all confused and you're all messed up and you got demons just crawling all over you, you've been watching the Smurfs. Then we're here to help you get delivered. We're going to hold you down and we're going to make you throw up. No. I'm sorry. I've got to be serious. There is deliverance in the house of God. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons and she was delivered. I don't know how many. You know, if you're a born-again Christian, you cannot be possessed because the Holy Spirit lives in you, but you can be oppressed from your past, from lifestyle, from things that you've allowed yourself to get into. And it takes time sometimes to get that oppression and that thing on you that you're so familiar with. It takes time for you to stand up and get that thing off of you and to take the authority and realize, to identify that voice, to realize that that's not the voice of God, that's not the voice of sanity, and I don't have to have that voice in my life anymore. And you can get totally and completely delivered. I know, because I've been delivered of many, many things, but nobody ever held me down and cast demons out of me. The Holy Spirit took me through a journey with Him in the Word of God. And as I listened to the Word and as I obeyed the Word of God, those things that had control of my life started to fall off of my life. And there was a whole lot of things at the very beginning of my Christian walk with Jim. I was pretty messed up as a drug dealer and everything else. So I'm from experience can tell you there's deliverance in the house. We have a great class called Breaking Free. Where's Joanna? Joanna, are you here? Woohoo! Joanna and Joelle, they run the Breaking Free Ministries, and they take you through a 6-week journey, and they give you tools to hear the Holy Spirit so He can journey with you and get you free. Because it's the Holy Spirit and the Word that delivers us. And so if you've got a messed up life, if you were abused or maybe divorced or broken heart or eating or whatever, drugs, drinking, who knows? I mean, everybody in this church has some kind of a story, because we're all pretty well messed up. We were anyway. Breaking Free, I highly recommend it. So Joey, just raise your gorgeous hand. So she will walk you through the journey. And you know what the thing is when we stop being embarrassed about our life, and we just deal with it head on, then we can grow. Transparency and honesty is the only way I know to just hit things head on with the Holy Spirit. And then He can deal with me. When I'm hiding stuff from Him, I don't get set free. And, no, I'm just messing with you. God, Lord, I just want to play with them. I just want to play. It's Easter. I just want to play. True story. I put myself back through college because I got pregnant, had to get married, went to Vietnam. I didn't go, but he did. And long story short, he divorced me and cheated on me with everybody else. And I kept going back to him because women are so stupid. Hello? Do I have any stupids in here besides me? Yeah. Okay. Yes. We have been very stupid, but we are not stupid anymore. Because now we know the value that's on us as women of God, and that we don't have to put up with that kind of a life. That God has an awesome man of God. And if He doesn't, then I've got a man of God. His name is Jesus. And He'll just fill your life up until it's time for you to have a man of God. But when I put myself back through school, I had to take a speech class at Santa Barbara City College. Okay, so here I am. And this is one of your icebreakers this morning is, did you ever have to do any public speaking? So here I am. I'm giving my first speech. And there I am in front of, you know, all these students, and I've never spoken in front of anybody before, and I'm a nervous wreck. And I did this speech on cannibalism. Okay, I wasn't saved yet. Probably tells you where I was, a little dark. Those are my dark days. Okay, so in my dark days, there I was in my hippie dress, 23 years old, standing in front of all these students, and I start giving this speech on cannibalism, which, you know, what was I thinking? And I got so nervous, I started to do this. I started twitching, and I didn't know I was twitching, but I couldn't stop. You know, have you ever done that? You're just so nervous. You know, it's like, you know, and you can't stop it. Has anybody ever done that? Well, if you haven't, we're going to make sure you're in a position to do that today, because we're here to make you feel nervous. No, I'm just kidding. And so I've often thought, God, if I start twitching up here in the pulpit, it is time for me to stop teaching. So if you see me go like this, just calm me down. But we've been looking at girlfriends, the mission statement of girlfriends, why we're here to connect with Jesus Christ and each other, and how to love each other. And so I launched this teaching last week, and just I'm not going to teach long because I want to take communion today and finish this up. And so if you've got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to John, the 13th chapter. Father, thank you for the opportunity once again to open the Word of God and to have just, Lord, just a time of goodness with the girls in the house. Lord, in the world, we have trouble, but we know that you've overcome the world, and so we can have joy. And we can have hope and faith in our hearts, regardless of what challenges are facing our lives. And Lord, I just pray for these girls. And Lord, I ask that, oh, Father, you'd bless them this Easter, that this would be the most magnificent Easter that they've ever had in their lives. And that they will so connect with you, Jesus, that you'll hear them and they'll hear your voice. And that you'll be able to whisper to them and speak to them and talk to them and set them on a path and a course. Because I know they want to hear from you. So thank you for today, and thank you for allowing us the privilege of gathering together. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do what you need to do today. And in all of my foolishness, Lord, please help us to get something done. In Jesus' name, amen. Last words of Jesus to his disciples in John, the 13th chapter. Last commandment, new commandment. And we launched it with this. In John, the 13th chapter, he's had dinner with them. Judas has been released to go betray him. He's already washed his feet, which is amazing to me that the God of the universe washed the feet of his betrayer. That's love beyond anything I've seen or get. You know, I think about what would I do if that was me, and I knew that this person that had seen me do what I'd done as Jesus, and that he was going to sell me out for 30 pieces of silver, that I was going to wash his feet. Well, how would I feel? And I just thank God for Jesus, because he shows us the heart of God, that God is a God of love. You don't want to mess with him. I mean, don't get him mad. But he's a God of love. And so there he is, and he sends Judas away, and he's with his disciples. And it says in verse 31, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, not speaking of Judas, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And then he says in verse 33, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, so now, hear what I'm going to say. A new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you, that you would also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And of all the things that he said, of all the great teachings, and of all the great revelation, and of all the miracles, and all the signs and wonders, and John writes in the last chapter of this book, that if everything was written of what Jesus did, that there would not be enough books in the world to contain everything that he had done. God wrote down here what we needed to hear. But there were things that were never penned, that John says if they were all written down, the libraries of the earth could not contain all that he did in the 3 years that he was with us. But now, it's coming to an end. He's about to go to Calvary. He's about to go into death and hell and take the keys of death and hell back. He's about to be the sacrifice. He's about to be the Passover lamb. He is about to be separated for the first time in all eternity from the Godhead. He knows that he's going to take sin on, and that the Father and the Holy Spirit cannot look upon him, because he will become that scapegoat and that Passover lamb, and he will become sin. For he who knew no sin became sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, now, because I'm going where you cannot follow, I'm going to give you a new commandment, and this is going to sum up the very essence of everything that I've ever done and I have done with you on this earth. You've watched me wash Judas's feet. You've watched me heal the sick. You've watched me wash your feet. Now I'm giving you a new commandment, a new one. And I'm asking you and I'm commanding you to love each other like I have loved you. Not like you know how to love each other. Not like your parents loved you. Not like the world loves you. But I want you to love each other like I have demonstrated the show and tell time that I've spent with you I want you to love each other like I have loved you. And he says, by this love, by this power of agape, this love that has never been demonstrated before, it's about to be demonstrated at the cross. It's about to be exposed. It's about to be commended into the earth because humanity cannot wrap its mind around this kind of love. But by this love, all men will know that you are my disciples. So when you and I begin to step into the agape of God, the power of God, the essence of God, who he is, because God is love. And when we begin to commit our lives to learning this great love, and we begin to commit ourselves, and the passion of our lives become to learn how to live in this love, then we begin to demonstrate that truly we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And if there was ever a mission statement for this community of women at the Rock, it is that you and I would love each other like he's loved us. That's the commandment of God. He doesn't say that we have license to walk in unforgiveness. He does not say that I have a license to judge you. He does not say that I have a license and a permit from heaven to be easily offended. He does not give me permission to walk in the flesh and to walk in my old nature. Why? Because he's paid too high of a price for me to have a new nature, the nature of God himself, and that is the love of God. It's now my DNA. It's now the air that I breathe. It's now the atmosphere that I am wired to live in. And when you don't live in agape, you are uncomfortable in your spirit. You have a hard time catching your breath because the wind of the spirit blows his fresh breeze and his momentum in the atmosphere of love. You're made for it. You're designed for it. Your hearts are sculpted and they're designed to capture the love of God and to love God. And as he loves you, you learn to love yourself. You learn to appreciate who you are, this magnificent creation that's made in the image of God, this amazing daughter. She is brilliant. She's smart as a tack. She is energetic. She's got a freeway between both sides of her brain. She can run loops around the suns sometimes, and they cannot figure her out. She can balance a two-year-old on her hip. She can put one at her breast. She can talk on the phone. She can cook dinner, and she can program the television all at the same time. That's my girl. You can do things you never thought you could do. Just like your bodies demonstrate, your biology demonstrates your creativity. You were made to bring forth into birth. You are wired by God to be the social piece of this pair. You are wired by God to be creative. Some of you don't think you are, but you just haven't tapped into it yet. You are so creative and you've got amazing taste. You just haven't learned how to use it yet. And you're just not confident in that yet. But hang out. Hang out with the girls. We'll show you how. And you'll find your style, and you'll find your grace, and you'll find your groove, and you'll start stepping into it. I'm looking at Sue right now, my precious, dear, beautiful friend. She's the mother-in-law of my daughter. I love Sue. She's Dan's mom. Sue, just give everybody a wave. I've just watched Sue just grow and blossom and change, and she's just the most amazing woman of God. I love to hang out with Sue. She's so brilliant. I love you, Sue. I just love you. And that's, I mean, Sue's just one story in here. There's so many. And God says, I want you to live in this love and love each other like I've loved you. So last week we just covered two areas of how did Jesus love us? Because if I'm going to love you like he loves me, then I'm going to have to know how did he love him. Number one, he accepted us. I'm just going to review quickly. He accepted us. He takes us where we're at. You know what? When you got saved, how many of you remember getting saved in your first Easter? How special it was. It was like, oh my gosh, it's Good Friday. I remember the first time I ever fasted, it was Good Friday. It was the only time I ever fasted. Then I fasted on Good Friday, and I broke the fast at communion that night. I'd just come back to the Lord. It was about 32 years ago. Here I was, this broken young woman that was so screwed up, had been with too many, had seen too much sin in her life, had made too many wrong choices. And here was this amazing God that just loved me where I was at and willing to take me along and help me to grow up. And see, that's how he loved me, so that's how I'm to love you. Give you space. Because not only does he accept us, but he actually gave us space to grow and change. He's perfecting that which concerns us. You're not done yet. That's why when people judge you, it's so stupid, because the end of the book for your life isn't written yet. And you're still in growth status. And you're still changing, and so am I. So the girl that you are today will not be the girl that you are tomorrow or next year if you hang in there with God. He gives us space to grow. How else does he love us? He trusts us. Trust is a gift. He says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Jesus Christ is the I am. I taught last night about how he is the I am and that we are not, but he is. Takes all the pressure off. He is the I am. He is the I am that I am. He is the vine. He is the branch. He is the door. He is the captain of our salvation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the everlasting Father. He is your righteousness. He is your sanctification. He is your protection. He is your shield and your exceeding great reward. He is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He is your bridegroom. He is your king. He is your Lord. He is the I am over you, and you are not. You are not omnipotent. You are not all-powerful. You are in charge of nothing. You are not large, and you are not in charge, because you and I cannot even keep ourselves alive for 5 minutes by holding our breath. He's a big God, bigger than we can wrap our minds around. And sometimes we need to step back, girls, and let him just be so big in our lives that we realize that he is and we're not, and it's where we're supposed to be. I am not, but he is, and I know the I am. I am not I am, but I know the I am, and the I am loves me, and he has a plan for my life, and I can relax, because I can't heal anybody. I can't fix anybody. I'm not large. I'm not in charge. I don't care how much weight I gain. I don't care how old I get. It's going to be the same. I am just a minuscule speck of dust on a planet that is spinning in space around billions and billions and billions of galaxies. And yet in the scheme of this enormous picture, he became flesh. He took on my sin. He gathered me in his arms. And he said, come on, child. You belong to me. He's big and I'm not. And he's in charge. And I am letting him be in charge. He's not done with you yet. So if he's not done with us, then how can we be done with each other? Because when you come to these tables, you're going to bump into each other. Because there's every kind of culture represented at these tables. There's every kind of story and every kind of scenario. And they told me this would never work. They told me, my friends that aren't in this church any longer, that used to be a part of the women's ministry years ago, they said, table fellowships just can't work. They're too hard. Didn't they, Sue? They told us that. And I kept plowing and I kept plowing. I said, no, because he says that we're to love each other like he loved us. And if we don't get together, and if we don't start to get up close and personal with each other, how can we really love each other? Because then it's just surface. You see each other in church, how are you blessed? And you walk away and your heart's broken. That's bull. Sorry. I need a family of sisters. I need women in my life that I can say, how are you doing? And I can say, man, I'm not doing so good. I'm transitioning and I'm having a hard time getting over myself. I'm in a new season of life, and I don't get where I've never been here before. I'm not quite sure how to function here. I'm not even sure where I'm supposed to go shopping right now, because I still want to go to the young stores, but I don't want to be inappropriate. I need some help. I need some older women with some style to take me shopping and say, no, don't wear that, but yeah, that looks good. Francine, you need to take me shopping. We need a field trip to Los Angeles, downtown LA. I would just be so worried about you all. He trusts us, and he values us. He put so much value on us that he valued us beyond himself. And he said that greater love is this, that you lay down your life for each other. And he laid down his life for us, so at least I can come to this place and I can learn how to value you and how to see the beauty in you and how to listen and how not to judge, how to open up my perspective to a new way of thinking, because you're going to see life differently than I see it. And I need your perspective in my life, because together we're better and bigger and greater than we are apart. And this is God's plan. And he didn't say, I want you to have a white church. He didn't say, I want you to have a black church. He didn't say, I want you to have a Latino church. Where's my Latino girls? So proud of you in La Roca. I love the Latinos. They have the manna from heaven, the food. He didn't say, I want you to have an Asian church. He said, I want you to be the church. Every girl from every people group gathered together, loving, admiring, honoring, learning, growing together. And so there were four things, and I gave you two last week, and we're just going to quickly go through them, and then we're going to take communion this morning. Now, I know we're going to take communion tomorrow night, but I don't care if we take communion every day. It's Easter week. So just two things, and then we're going to get to the communion table. Last week, we covered about, number one, not judging each other. Number two, to be long-suffering, not easily offended. Oh, my goodness, it's such a trap. The word offended is from the word scandalizo. It was actually a word picture of a bait on a trap. And that when you get offended, Satan brings in the bait of sin to you to trap you into a prison of unforgiveness and offense. Because if he can isolate you and if he can distract you, he will destroy you, because we are called to be a flock together in a family. And we are safe together in the house of God. But you get off there by yourself, and before you know it, he's going to devour you, because God did not make you to do life alone. He calls us sheep. Sheep have to stay together. Their only protection is a shepherd. So the house of God is vital to our health. So this week, I just want to cover two things. If we're going to love each other like Jesus loved us, number three, I'm going to have to learn to be meek and not proud. Oh, boy. That's a toughie, because pride is such a subtle thing. You don't know you're prideful. At least I don't. That's what deception is. You don't know you're deceived. You think everything's okay, right? Jeremiah said the heart is exceedingly wicked, and it's deceptive. Who can understand it but God? God reads the heart. And there have been so many times when I've been caught up in pride. And when I find that I'm dying to something, it's usually because my pride is lifted up and it's been exposed. And now God says, now you need to crucify that attitude, that temperament, that character trait, whatever it is. You've got to deal with it, because it will show up when you're about to take on an offense, or if you can't forgive, or if you can't deal with somebody. Guess what? God doesn't say that it's their fault. God says you are responsible for how you deal with that person. I'm not responsible for that person's behavior. That is not my trouble. That is not my business. That is not my challenge, because I can't read the heart and I don't know what really happened. There's two sides to every story. There's actually three. There's my side, there's your side, and then there's God. Right? So God says to me, child, you are responsible for how you deal with people, not how they deal with you. And when I begin to walk in pride, then I can't actually love you like Jesus loved me, because Jesus didn't have any pride. Now, humility is not being worms. It's not hating yourself. Humility, I love what Rick Warren says, his definition of humility. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Should I say that again? I hope I get it right. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking about yourself less. In other words, which is going to be part number four, we're not so self-conscious, but we develop a God consciousness. So we actually are very comfortable in our own skin, in our own lives, and we're not thinking about what other people are thinking about us, but we're actually able to love other people and minister to them because we're really not aware of us. We've actually gotten over ourselves. What a thought. How many need to get over themselves? I do. You know how you know if you need to get over yourself? It's when you're always thinking about yourself. God says, I want you meek. I want you meek. In 1 Peter 3:4, it says in the King James, speaking to women, Peter's writing, and he says, but let it be the hidden man. Now, actually, you know, it should say girl, but of course they didn't do that. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And he's actually talking to the wives. And it's a beautiful passage of scripture. And he says, girls, if your husbands don't obey the word of God, because God, you know, he made men. He so gets them. I mean, he was a man. He is a man. He understands men. Thank God. Somebody understands men. Jesus understands men, you know, because we are so easy to get. Men, on the other hand, actually, they're quite simple. What is it? Food, sex, television, sleep, work. They're pretty happy, don't you think? They're actually pretty easy to get along with. Okay, I'm goofing off again. 1 Peter 3. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Notice he didn't say our conversation, but he said our conduct. Because have you found out men don't listen to you? When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear or reverence, do not let your ornament or your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle or a meek and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And then he goes on to talk about Sarah, that she was beautiful because of this meek and quiet spirit. And for some reason, God just loves his girls to put on a meek and a quiet spirit because it's of great value to him. And I don't know about you, but I want to please him. I want Dad to look at me and go, oh, that's my girl. I want him to be proud of me. And not just kind of roll his eyes and put me in the deep freeze, you know, because I'm still a teenager in the kingdom, you know, and I'm driving him nuts. I want to grow up. For me to grow up, I'm going to have to put on a meek and a quiet spirit. Now, that word meekness is not weakness. It does not mean that you are a doormat and that people just run over you and you don't have an opinion and you're brain dead and you're just head down and you're timid and intimidated and you're frightened of life and so you just want to go through life and not make any waves. That is not a woman that has a meek spirit. A meek spirit is, by definition, power under the perfect control of agape love. Power under the perfect control of agape love. And Jesus demonstrated that meek spirit when he took himself and climbed on that cross and let humanity crucify him, and he took on the sin of the world. He was operating in the power of meekness, because Lucifer, now Satan, was operating in hatred and in force. And here is the Lamb on a cross dying for you and I. And it says in 2 Corinthians that if the princes of this world would have known that he was the Son of glory, they would never have crucified him. But because he came in clandestine, that means hidden, secret, this secret power, this secret force that the world has not seen, it's called meekness. He came in power under the control of love. He climbed on that cross. He lifted himself up and he took on the sin of you and I. That lamb swallowed up that dragon. And that is why Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth, because that is the very power of God on display. And that is why God says, I don't need my girls to be aggressive and to be pushy and to be coarse and to be like men. If he wanted us to be like men, he would have made us men, but he made us girls. We are the curve part of the Godhead. We are the part that is feminine. He is not a man that he should lie. He is not male or female. We represent the female part of God. If he wanted you to be a man, he would have made you a man, but he's made you a woman. And he says, when women take on, yes, they can out-talk a son. Of course you can. You can absolutely manifest, wrap your head around him, your tongue around him. He will not know what happened. Your head is spinning. Because you've got the power of speech in your DNA. How many have little girls? How many have little boys and little girls? Tell me there is not a huge difference. The little boys are still grunting by the time they're three. The little girls have a completely developed language. Why? Because she's a girl. God says, I need my daughters to take on a meek and a quiet spirit. The word quiet doesn't mean that we shuttest thou upest, although that's a very good idea. Quiet is the Greek word hasukeia. It means to not be easily disturbed and not disturbing others. It means when you live in a quiet neighborhood, it doesn't mean that nobody in your neighborhood talks. It just means that there's peace, that everybody gets along. And that's what he's talking about here. I need my girls to be peacemakers. I don't need them to be gossips. I don't need them to be stirring up trouble. I don't need them to see the negative and talk about it to their husbands. I don't need them to point out what's wrong. I need my girls to be power and powerful under the control of love. In other words, you know you could win the argument, but you choose to climb on that cross and crucify your will and let your husband rule, which he is supposed to do. Maybe you have a better idea, which of course you do, my darling. You just come to girlfriends and we will pray with you. No. You have a different perspective. So you see a different way. But God says, let your husbands rule. They are the rulers of the home. And when you usurp that authority, it's as if Satan himself were once again usurping the authority of God. And God is a God of authority. And he says, when I come under, listen, submission, I'm still learning it at 58, almost 59 years old. I put up my best fight with Jim. And if that doesn't work, then I have to submit. But Jim would just love it if I didn't put up my best fight. If I would just listen and say, okay, sweetheart, if this is what you feel is really God, and I've prayed about it and you've prayed about it, I'm not in agreement, then we're going to trust God and I'm going with you. See, there, I'm not creating a war in my house now. I'm creating peace. Meekness. Am I responsible? No. Jim's responsible. God will cover me. If that man has screwed up, then my job is to believe God that if he's wrong, that God will be able to speak to him. If he's just made a wrong decision and there's not sin involved, because there are wrong choices and wrong decisions that don't involve sin, then I have to believe God, and I believe God to get us out of the situation and to cover it, and that we learn from it and we grow, because everything is designed for our good if we'll learn from it. Because I give him space to learn how to be a man. So girls, when you go home, God says, listen, if your husbands aren't obeying the word of God, does he know the sons? Of course he does. He says, they're not going to come to me like you are, but you're the secret ingredient. And if you'll not preach at them because they're not going to listen to you preach, and you know what? We're not going to listen to you preach at the tables. But if you'll put on a meek and a quiet spirit, power under the control of love. Yes, you've got a better idea, but you know what? It's okay, because I'm believing in you and I'm agreeing with you. I'm going to die to this and I'm going to live to your idea. What a thought. Meekness and quietness. I'm not going to be easily upset. I'm not going to get on the phone and call my mother. I'm not going to call my girlfriends. I'm not going to call my sister. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to repeat an offense. I am not going to share what has happened, because love covers a multitude of sin. And you see, when the girls in the house get wise and savvy about how to really be powerful, now we begin to inherit the earth. Now those blessings that you've been believing God for that haven't come, now they start coming into your life. Because now you're coming into the power of your inheritance in the love of God. Does that make sense? So, girls, Here at the tables at Girlfriends, how does this translate? We all have a different idea. My gosh, it takes a move of God to get us to do anything. But when we actually switch over to a meek and a quiet spirit, we say, okay, let's go with that. If it works, great. If it doesn't, well, you know what? Then back to the prayer closet. Let's put our heads together and let's try it again. Where's my team? Raise your hands, my team. Sue, Eleanor, all of you that are on the team here at Girlfriends. Raise your hands. Tracy, raise your hand. You're on my team. Come on, my team girls, my pastor's wives, my pastors, and the girls that are supporting us and working with us. Listen, how many times have we screwed up? How many girls' night outs have we just had train wrecks over the years? Sue, how many? Oh, man, we had ideas and they have not worked. What do? We just put our heads together and say, okay, well, we learned from that. Let's go and let's just keep trying and trying and trying until we get this right so that we can gather the girls and we can give them an awesome experience with Jesus, because our heart is to connect you with God and your girlfriends with God. We don't need to be seen, but He needs to be seen, and you need to come and have an encounter with Him at Girls Night Out. And so we've worked hard at it. Have we got it right? No, but at least we try, and where we screw up, we cover each other and we learn from our mistakes. Now, if we can do that here in this house, how much more can we do it in our homes? Some of you need to go home and mend some fences this Easter. Some of you need to climb back in bed with your husbands. Let them be the king. Let them rule. You're going to be okay. He's going to cover you and take care of you. They may screw up because they're men. And they will screw up. But He's God and He doesn't screw up. And He knows how to capture you. He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to keep you, and He knows how to protect you, and He knows how to bless you in spite of everybody else around you. So girls, we're going to take communion this morning. At Girlfriends this year, let's really, really make it our heart's desire to do what Jesus said, His last commandment, to really love each other like He loves us. That means that I am committed to you. I am not going to quit on you. I don't care if you screw up. Just get back in the house. We'll brush you off. We'll pick you up. And we'll start again. Because He doesn't give up on us. We're not going to judge each other. You may see me wearing something and you may think, my God, what is that girl thinking? Francine, will you please take her shopping? Francis, but you're going to love me anyway. We're going to look at each other at the tables, and we're not going to be proud. When there's a question, we could answer that question a million times over. We've got so much life experience, but let somebody else talk. And listen, you little girls that don't talk, start talking. Because the last one was, don't be self-conscious. Number four. You know, you can actually hold people up with your self-consciousness, your timidity, your gentle hearts. You're women of God now. You don't have to be afraid of anything, because God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we can now develop God consciousness. In other words, I am aware of God in my life all the time. And I may be afraid on the inside, but I'm okay. I can do this. I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about Him. Let's love each other. Because Jesus said, He said, if we'll love each other like He loved us, everybody will know that He's Lord and that we belong to Him. And I really believe that there are women that need to be here, but they're afraid. They've had bad experiences. They don't like women's stuff because they just don't get how awesome it is to be with the girls. Because they don't just get how awesome girls are, because they don't get how awesome they are. But if we'll love each other, I believe this love will spread through our church and to our city, to some really broken places. And I believe God wants to put you on and take you to those broken places and use you to deliver some girls that need to know him.